guest this hour. We welcome back Buck Giles from the LaVogue Cyclery, Grays Harbor's bike shop. Welcome back, man.
Awesome. Thank you for having me back. It's great to be here.
So you graduated from Hoquiam in 07. You went in the United States Marine Corps. That's hardcore, man.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that motivation there was I didn't want to become, like, out of shape. I did high school sports all throughout my life, yeah. You know, and I was like, oh, I was really worried about, like, just losing that edge. So I was like, well, I'll join the military. And then my brother joined the Army National Guard. He got a big old signing bonus. And then my dad was like, son, you need to do this. And I was like, stick it to the man. No, Dad. And join the Marines. And so that was great.
So, and here you are. You're the owner of LaVogue Cyclery in Hoquiam.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a trip. It's been oddly full circle, you know, because I was doing my Marine Corps stuff and trying to do school. I was trying to be an engineer, and working on bikes was my stress relief. And I set my sights on my wife and I. We wanted to move back home. We wanted to start a family. And I set my sights on helping out Terry Wines there at LaVogue. And moved back, and he wasn't ready to hire me. I started Buck's Bikes, now Buck's Northwest out in Seabrook, and kept in touch with Terry throughout the years. And, you know, tragically last May with his passing, I stepped in and assumed that shop responsibility there. So LaVogue carries on, and definitely with the strong memory of Terry always present.
And you turned your passion into a career. That's awesome. It's like you don't go to work, right?
A little bit. You know,
you're like, it's work.
It's definitely work. You know, there's no clocking out for me. Yeah. I am on. I'm clocked in all the time. Yeah. You know, and my wife, she'll like touch my arm, touch my leg, whatever. Whenever I'm talking about bikes too much,
yeah,
you know, she's like, okay,
calm down. Well, you have a love for bikes, and you want to help others find their love of bikes, because you know we all had bikes as kids, and then sometimes we kind of just lose that. You want to bring me back, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about it on the drive in, you know, how a lot of us who don't do more cycling than, you know, what we were raised on. You know, sometimes that bike riding can have kind of a juvenile appearance, you know, like bikes are for kids, right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, no, man. Absolutely not. You know, there are a few physical activities that you can do in so many places, such as cycling. You know, like, when's the last time any of us, like, put our shoulder pads back on, you know?
Yeah.
When's the last time any of us, like, put our batting gloves back on to, like, play a game, right? But riding a bike, you can do it for the whole rest of your life. Yesterday was the season end of our cross-country mountain bike race series.
Yeah.
The West Side Mountain Bike Race Series, put on by Bell Lap Productions, good friends of mine. And we were there at the season awards. Everybody's, you know, getting their awards at the end of the race. And there's a fellow, he kind of tapped the race director on the shoulder. He's like, I think I got third place. And he was like, Michael was like, what category? It's like, oh, 60 plus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
This guy raked in third place in the 60 plus category. So tell me what sport, you know, besides bowling, you can do well into your old age. Right. So that's what I love, man. I love sharing the stoke about riding.
So you don't do this alone, right? I mean, you have mechanics that help at the shop, right?
That's right. Yes. We are so busy. It is not a one man show. You know, I'm out here sharing the word and spreading the stoke about the shop, of course, and the cycling, of course. But, you know, the real heroes, the people who are putting, you know, the nose to the grindstone every day, day in, day out, are my mechanics there at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Any day of the week, you come into the shop, you will see three people there. The first, unmissable, Bill Wallace.
Yeah.
Big, tall dude. He hails from Maryland. And he loves bikes.
Don't they call him Stretch?
That's right. That's his name, Stretch. We're trying to ease him into a more Northwest appropriate nickname, Old Growth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because
that dude is a tree.
Yeah.
So Stretch, Bill, he's there. And if you ever want to talk about chain lubricants, we've got this special wax lubricant that we use. Mm-hmm. Go talk to him. He'll like talk to you until your eyes glaze over about treating your chain properly.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Also, you'll see Rayanne. Mm-hmm. She and Bill, they're a couple, and they work there together. Mm-hmm. It's great. There's a nice dynamic there. Yeah. And Ray is, I dare say, the first female bicycle mechanic in Grays Harbor.
Nice.
Possibly. Not that there's an official record.
Right.
She is an incredible presence there at the shop. When there are certain customers that come in, mm-hmm. We as service people, we kind of connect differently with different customers, and mm-hmm. Ryan just fills that other missing gap. People that I can't connect with, that Bill can't connect with, Ray is on it.
Yeah.
And it's great having her there. And she's, the budding mechanic. She's in there literally crawling on the floor, getting up underneath the bikes, mm-hmm. working on them. It's awesome to see. Nice. So Bill and Ray both, they attended a UBI bike mechanic school in January. It's a month-long course, doing all of the courses in one go. That's training that I invest in to provide our customers the best possible repair service out there. And then the last individual to see out there is Andy Lutz. Mm-hmm. Andy's a young guy, recent Hokum graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, Andy sells more bikes than anybody.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Nice. It's awesome. He has this way to just connect with the customer, because me and Bill, just as my wife has to say, "Hey, Buck, too much bikes. Stop. Yeah. Shut up." Andy does not overload the customer with all that information. And so mm-hmm. it's really great. He's able to keep it simple for the folks who are just looking for their first bike, looking for their kid's bike.
Mm-hmm.
That man is a treasure in all by itself.
Nice. Now tell me about Teapot and Luna.
Ooh, Teapot and Luna. So we have a big warehouse, and we have a permanent resident there at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Teapot. She's about a year and a half old black cat. Mm-hmm. And she is all black. There's not a spot of other color on her at all. And we got her primarily to keep the rodent population at bay.
Right.
And when me and my son, Henry, he's seven, went to go pick her out at Paws,
mm-hmm.
we go and we're looking at all the cats, and he's kind of in there playing with all the cats, and of course, paying a lot more attention to the kittens.
Yeah.
And I needed a killer. I needed a vicious presence. But after leaving Paws, I asked Henry, "What cat do you think we should get?" And he said, "I think we should get Teapot."
Yeah.
"Well, why is that?" "Well, she's all black, Dad." "Okay. I want to give people bad luck."
Ooh, okay.
So I apologize for all you superstitious folks out there. We have a black cat. Yeah. I promise you nothing will be wrong with your bike if she runs across your path when you're walking toward a new purchase.
Right. Okay, now who's Luna?
Luna is my Border Collie Australian Shepherd mix. Yeah. She is 6 years old. We got Luna when Henry was just one. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to Henry on his first birthday. Maybe a gift for me rather than Henry. But Luna goes everywhere with me, typically. You can find her running right behind me on the mountain bike.
Really?
So on the trails when we go up in Montesano, she's right there with me. She'll go on my paddle board for the river tours I operate through Bucks Northwest during the summer.
Wow.
And she is the pristine adventure dog, and she is super well-mannered. Even though we have the dog and a cat there at the shop, we're pet friendly folks.
Right.
You want to come in, you have your small dog or your big dog, bring them. That's fine.
Bring them.
That's fine.
As long as they can hang. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If they're comfortable with other animals, that's totally, totally cool. And also the potty training, right?
Right.
Both my animals are potty trained, so that's nice. Got the litter box, and then Luna just goes outside.
It's 8:18. Buck Giles is here from LaVogue Cyclery in Hoquiam. We've been talking about the mechanics and the folks that you'll see when you walk in to the bike shop, right?
That's right. And the one person you will immediately see, the first person, is my lovely wife, Carly.
Yeah.
She is the presence. She is right there at the front desk, ready to talk your ear off about bikes.
Mm-hmm.
She is as knowledgeable as she can be about bikes, and she loves it. She loves greeting people. She loves talking with anyone who dares to wander in and ask, what kind of helmet should I get? What kind of lock should I get? And I would be wrong if I didn't mention that she's there.
Right.
Absolutely.
I gotcha. Okay. And so yesterday, as a matter of fact, my 10-year-old, I'm like, hey, how come you're not riding your bike? It's a nice sunny day. Well, Daddy, you gotta have your friend fix it, remember? And I'm like, no, because I didn't remember. Yeah, remember the gears are, you know, they're all tight and you can't move the gears and stuff? I'm like, oh, that's right, I gotta take it to Buck. But I'm kind of embarrassed because, you know, it's like a huffy, grandma bought it. It's, you know?
Don't worry about it. We have a nice saying in our shop. Mm-hmm. A bike is a bike. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as it's working properly, it's yours. Mm-hmm. It's yours to unlock all those outdoor adventures, you know.
Right.
The number one question we have is when people roll in and they ask us, well, is it worth it to fix it?
Right.
I mean, you know, this old thing. And we usually respond with, well, is it worth it to you to have a bike that works?
Mm-hmm.
Then all right, let's start there, you mm-hmm. know. And the other thing too is, like, you know, new bikes, they start at about $600-$700.
Right.
So if your repair is $150, then yeah, absolutely, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the main thing, you know. A bike is a bike. Get out and whenever we're riding, we're racing, we're doing these adventures. Any point during the ride, I usually say, you know, riding bikes is fun.
Right.
So
now, when you were in the Marines, did you get to ride at all?
Yeah.
Or was that a problem that it's like, gosh, I want to ride my bike, but I can't because I'm like here.
Yeah, no, it was at that time I was focused differently, you
yeah.
know, and you know, it's in that, and this is where my passion of cycling started, because mm-hmm. yes, I was doing my Marine Corps contract. I was attending school to try to study civil engineering. I'm taking like calculus 2 and
oh, wow.
Heaven help me if anybody says differential.
Yeah.
You know, but like I found my gateway to like happiness and stress relief in riding bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a place where there are some local trails right from the little town, Ephraim, Utah. And I was able to just get on my bike and escape.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's like, is it worth it to you to have a working bike?
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth it for me, for you to have a working bike, because I know what you're going to experience.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, speaking of places to ride, I was checking out your website, right?
Yeah.
That's lavoguecyclery.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of places. I didn't realize there were. You have the East Hoquiam Loop. You have the Wainuchi Falls Wishka Loop, the Big Creek Loop, the Bishop Complex Out and Back, Blue Slough, Church Creek Loop. I mean, there's the list kept going. I'm like, going, I don't have time to write down all of these.
Right.
You know, have you ridden all those routes?
I've ridden a good majority of them.
Yeah.
Now, so on our website, lavoguecyclery.com, if you go to where to ride, you'll open up this page, and this is exactly where you got that information from.
Right.
And I have two widgets there. One of them is like these routes, ride with GPS, where it shows you those, you know, the East Wishkaw Loop, the Blue Slough Loop, Bishop Complex Out and Back. Those are all rides that anyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
You can go onto my website, you can download it onto like your phone, you can share it to yourself and upload it on your computer. And these are guaranteed, you know, good rides that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many places to ride. And the biggest thing is, you know, especially for road riding. So those routes are road riding, so they're going to be on pavement
mm-hmm.
mostly. There might be a couple weird places that will have some gravel or a weird intersection. But those are places that we deem to be the most successful and the most safe.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain times of the day, of course, that you're going to see more traffic no matter what. You know, like between 7:15 and 8:30,
right.
There's going to be more traffic. Between 4:15 and 5:30, more traffic. But these are exceptional routes. We have routes on there suggested anywhere between like 6 miles up mm-hmm. to there's a 103-mile route that I'd like to do. We can
wow.
talk about that insanity later. But yeah, there are a lot of places to ride in Grace Harbor. And the biggest thing that I'm trying to be a part of is suggesting and advising more cycling infrastructure for Hoquiam, mm-hmm. for Aberdeen, for greater Grace Harbor. And what that cycling infrastructure is basically identifying routes that mm-hmm. recreation cyclists and commuters can mm-hmm. can use that will keep them the most safe.
Right. We've talked about this, I think, a little bit yeah. in the past, where like the city would put a bike path like just on the main route when that might not be the best place to put a bike path.
A little bit, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not that cyclists don't go into those areas,
yeah.
but rather the flow of traffic being so dense in those specific areas that if you wanted to ride through and use that as like a commuting route,
yeah.
there's better ways. There's better ways. There's, you know, a street off or two, mm-hmm. A different paths that you can do, different connections that you can use. Because cyclists, while we like getting where we can effectively, it's never fun riding on like down Simpson or Sumner when right. you're battling log trucks and yeah. all of the traffic, plus yeah. the cars parked right next to you. And it's not exactly fun riding the sidewalk when right. you're passing, you know, people walking their dogs and kids going to school. And it's, you know, that the sidewalk is for walking people mostly. Right. While we can, a cyclist, we can ride on the road, we can ride on the sidewalk. We prefer to not be a bother. Mm-hmm. And we prefer to remove ourselves out of the equation. So I'm eagerly awaiting the opportunities to like organize a little bit more, present these ideas, and really become an advisory type of role for mm-hmm. those, you know, infrastructure placements.
So, okay, speaking of pavement and just riding in general, I guess, what's like the proper, I want to say, courteous protocol for the rider or the non-rider? You know, let's say, you know, me and the daughters and the family are just walking down a trail and you know, there's cyclists coming through. You know, we want to get out of the way, but, you know, what's the proper protocol?
Great, great comment. I mean, you know, cyclists in general, we need to ride and treat ourselves like vehicles. Mm-hmm. So riding on the right side of the road, riding with the flow of traffic, mm-hmm. you know, giving a right-of-way to walking traffic, to equestrian traffic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why I say it's really uncomfortable riding on sidewalks. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're riding at Lake Sylvia State Park and you are just riding up one of the little walking multi-use paths that's along the lake. Mm-hmm. There, that is the most that we use our trail etiquette. So if you are you'll see these signs. It's like a triangle where you'll have like somebody that's walking, an image of somebody walking at the top, and an image of somebody riding in the bottom left, and an image of a horse in the bottom right. Mm-hmm. And there's arrows pointing like who gives right of way to whom.
Right.
Well, the walking traffic always has right of way. You know. Mm-hmm. So if you're riding and you see somebody walking, pull off the trail. Mm-hmm. You know, let those walkers go by unmolested. You know, you don't mm-hmm. want to be hauling, ripping down a trail and just completely ignore the mm-hmm. the rights of the person who's just casually walking up the trail. That's not cool.
Are there things that the pedestrian could do just to like help out the bike, the cyclist? So it's like, well, you know what? I have the right of way, but I want to help them. I want to step out of the way or anything like that.
We see that a lot. We yeah. see that a lot. Now, it's the pedestrian has the walker has the right of way, but what we see a lot of times is that, yeah, the walkers, they'll just kind of like sidestep off the trail and mm-hmm. kind of turn sideways, and then we'll kind of slowly roll by and you know, exchange ideally some pleasantries. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. yeah.
And then we'll go on our way, right?
Yeah.
So then we come to like climbing traffic versus descending traffic.
Oh.
Yeah. yeah. This gets real sticky.
Okay.
I'm about to like poke the bear just a little bit because okay. the right of way is for the climbing traffic.
Okay.
So if you are two cyclists meet on a trail, one's going uphill, one's going downhill, the one that's going uphill has the right of way.
Okay.
So the descending rider needs to put the brakes on, get out of the way.
Do some people disagree with that?
Strongly.
Oh, you're like strongly.
Wow. Strongly. And it comes exclusively, it comes from like trying to be the fastest. Mm-hmm. Strava.
Strava?
Strava is this program that follows your GPS information, and people can go on and mark segments. And Strava will keep historical record mm-hmm. of who is the fastest in a segment. So there's good and there's bad, right?
Right.
You know, the good is that you can, if you're a competitive individual, you can, you know, see how you stack up against other people. You can, you know, compare yourself with your past efforts. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because it keeps you super hyper motivated to like continue to ride, continue to like, you know, progress. Am I getting better, essentially?
Right.
But then the dark side of that coin is that if someone's in the way when you're going for like your what we call king of the mountain or your calm, it can end badly. In fact, if you look back, there is some old articles from like San Francisco, people hauling through streets, making a mess of things.
Well, we'll talk more about this with Buck Giles, Lavoque Cyclery. It's time for our bottom of the hour break. We'll do a weather forecast and more local matters. Good morning. We're talking with Buck Giles, Lavoque Cyclery in Hoquiam, Washington, 98550. More info, lavoquecyclery.com. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook. They're at 523 Levy Street, Hoquiam, 532-0887. They love bikes. Buck loves bikes.
Absolutely.
Right. So you recently had this race series.
That's right, yeah. So yesterday was the series finale of this race series. And, you know, as much as I love bikes, I love showing other people the love of cycling.
Right.
And it was a great series. We actually got fifth as a team in the series, you know, and we're going up against people who've other like really hyper organized groups who've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
And so this being essentially our second year as a team, taking fifth, awesome.
Do you have any like first timers like who'd never been in a race before that went into this, or are these all seasoned bikers?
All of our racers are essentially, you know, fresh in the racing scene. Absolutely. There's one of the families, the Nelson family, their family of five. So like, you know, the mom, the dad, and the three boys, they're all out racing.
Yeah,
the three boys, they've had some experience BMX racing, a different discipline of cycling, but really everyone else is like their first time, you know, and that's what I love about cycling. That's why I try to disconnect that like juvenile approach to, you know, just bikes are for kids. Well, they're not.
Right.
You know, the single mom coming out and trying to do something healthy for herself, trying to be a positive example for her son who's 11, that they're coming out and racing as much as possible.
Nice.
And she's bringing her five-year-old in tow, and she's bossing everyone around at camp. Awesome. We love it. We love it.
So I saw one of your the Gravel Unravel. It's called Why Not Chi?
Yes. We are very punny in our naming. And even a lot of our trail names will drop some clever names.
Yeah.
And so the Gravel Unravel, we like these kind of whimsical names. In the past, we've had a race out at the Ho Rainforest, and we called that one the Holy Roller. Before the course got super destroyed from the really rough winter we had 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the Soul Duck race was the Soul Grinder. And the Quill Scene race, the Bon John Pass Out is still there, still happening. That's number two of our race. And then I added the Why Not Chi.
The Why Not Chi. I got a text. Thank you, Buck, for taking care of Jamie's bike.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Very, very welcome. We have the cool thing about the racing is, you know, it's like people have their bike needs, you know. Yeah. So we have the opportunity of taking care of everyone in the community, including our racers.
Now, it seems like they're... When I was growing up, I had my bike, and I didn't maintain it. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't last forever. That's why they don't last forever, because you didn't maintain it. But you recommend bringing it in once a year to have it checked out?
At a minimum. Yeah. At a minimum, once a year. So we tell folks, be prepared to spend about $100 to $150 in annual maintenance on your bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's barring, you know, accidents, crashes, and just like the wearing out of parts, you know, brake pads, tires, tubes. And so that $100 to $150 will make sure that you have professional eyes on your bike, making sure that everything is properly working.
Yeah, the mechanics that you've talked about this morning, they're trained in this.
They are. Yeah. They are. We are thorough, we are professional, and we're competitively priced. You don't need to go to Olympia. You don't need to go to REI to have your bike repaired. We've got your needs right here on the harbor.
Awesome. Now, you brought a bike this morning.
I did. I did. You know, and as you're going through the list of, like, the routes and stuff,
right?
You know, this bike, this is a this is a Kona brand bike. This is the Process 165. The number 165 is the amount of travel in millimeters that this bike has. So it's a full suspension mountain bike. And this is more of my kind of gravity-oriented bike. The two places I ride this bike primarily are Montesano, Lake Sylvia State Park, the city of Montesano trails up there. They have We have some exceptional mountain bike trails. I encourage anyone who wants to get a taste of some, intermediate and above trails to come to Lake Sylvia and ride. We have Wednesday night rides at 5 p.m. We're trying to get out. We close the shop early on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
We close at 4, so then we can go out and ride.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome because, you know, we want to, like, show our customers what you can do. Mm-hmm. And I do say intermediate and above. There are some beginner trails out there at Lake Sylvia, but you always have to climb up the gravel road to get there. So that can be sometimes a physical obstacle. If you can get to the top of the hill, it unlocks a doorway of great adventure. And then the other place that I ride this bike is above the ORV park, whose lease has recently not been renewed.
Right.
And that area we call North Slope. So it's the North Slope of Capitol Forest, and a lot of the trails are on DNR land. There are some gravity trails up there, and we do a lot of racing up there. So the week of Memorial Weekend, and then for the following 12, 13 weeks, every other Wednesday night is a local race. So that's where, like, this time of year, we start shifting gears. We roll into gravel season, so the Gravel and Ravel, the Wenatchee race is in July.
Yeah.
The Bon John pass out is in June, and then the first race of our series is just coming up in 2 weeks, and that is at Port Gamble. We are partnering with the Night Owl Cycling, and it's the Gamble Graveler, and so and then also the Cascadia Super Gravel. So gravel next, and then we have our enduros coming up, and I invite anyone you want to come out for a riffing good time. You like going fast down trails? Come race with us Wednesday night.
Is that what you mentioned gravity a couple times?
Yes. I say gravity because, we're just more going down the trail, down, descending downhill. And there's two kind of disciplines in that. One is downhill, which is like a course, the longest travel bikes you can imagine going as fast as possible. One run and done. You get one shot. And then there's enduro racing where it's multiple downhill runs all connected together for your combined time. So those Wednesdays are enduro. We have two trails that we'll ride on, and they change each week.
So if someone wanted to get, started in, I'm going to break out my bike. I haven't ridden in a while, and I love what I'm hearing. Where do I start? On Wednesday nights, meeting you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I would encourage everyone to do, is if you're into mountain biking, come join us on these Wednesday night rides, 5 p.m. And if you're just breaking out your bike and you have no idea where to start, check out the website or come into the shop, and we'll give you some really great routes to ride.
Yeah.
And some of the routes that aren't on there are like our more family-friendly routes.
Okay.
You know, in Aberdeen, in Hoquiam, the Chehalis River Trail is exceptionally family-friendly because it's paved from the Chehalis River Bridge all the way to the Bishop's Athletic Complex. And doing just that section of pavement out and back, I think that total is something like 2 miles, 2.5 miles.
Okay.
So there's great places to ride for all abilities, all disciplines.
That Chehalis ride, could a person, put their kids in one of those little trailers and tow them on that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because you couldn't do that like in some of these routes, right?
Well, yeah. So some of our mountain bike trails, they're very narrow. We call that single track because it's just enough room for one person to go down. So yeah, the trailers don't quite work there. But on all the gravel roads, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. You know, and that's how, like, I was raised cycling, because my mom burdened with raising four boys.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know. She would rope us into riding our bikes, and mm-hmm. she would like strap as many bells as she could on her handlebars to keep the bears away.
Oh,
and
wow.
we would go out behind our house. I grew up in Copalis Crossing,
mm-hmm.
and we would find our way onto some of these logging roads, and we would just ride our bikes for mm-hmm. miles. I, you know, look now as an adult, looking back at my mom doing that.
Yeah.
Incredible.
You're right.
Absolutely right. Incredible. just the action of like going out on your own, mm-hmm. and now you have four young boys in tow.
Right.
Incredible.
Superwoman.
Pretty much.
So you rode, growing up, Copalis,
mm-hmm.
the Copalis Loop.
Right, yeah. So now, as I've done more road riding, so we call the Copalis Loop basically the triangle of Copalis Beach Road,
mm-hmm.
109 between Copalis Beach and Seabrook, and then Ocean Beach Road between Seabrook and Copalis Crossing. So that is the classic. It's 24 mm-hmm. miles. It's a loop. It's awesome. A great early morning ride, especially yeah. going the 109 section. You're going through all these turns, coming down past the Sandpiper. The Seabrook crew just recently cut down the brush, so that view is back open.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's
nice. Beautiful. Hey, if you have any questions for Buck at LaVogue Cyclery, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can text a message or email. That's Johnny at Jodesha.com. How's the Blue Slough ride? It's so windy and traffic is, you know, weird sometimes. I mean, is it still a pretty safe ride?
It's generally safe.
Yeah.
The only struggle there is the traffic.
Yeah.
You know, growing up here locally, all of us local drivers, we know that there's a few roads where you can, you know, push the speed limit just a little bit. And Blue Slough happens to be one of those routes.
Right.
And so, again, like, you know, when you're planning your ride, the time of day, it means everything. You
yeah.
know, outside of those commuting times, outside of those like really nice weekends, because people are like, they're like leaving Aberdeen mm-hmm. to go and, you know, spend time on the river or whatever. Like they're taking that back woodsy access mm-hmm. to, you know, avoid clam dig traffic, et
right.
cetera. So
right.
it is a safe ride. It's a beautiful ride, but what's critical is the time of day you go.
Okay.
Now the other cool thing is if you're looking to get a little bit more of an off-road experience, there is, I believe it's called Preacher's Slough, which mm-hmm. is the trail that goes along Blue Slough Road.
Oh,
it's an old railroad grade.
Wow.
Now, that, again, that's another focus on, like, what is a cycling infrastructure that would create safe routes
mm-hmm.
and provide the recreation opportunities? That's one of them.
Okay.
That literally all – we just need to have people walk down that path
mm-hmm.
and cut the deadfall trees out of the way,
yeah.
brush a little bit, and then there's an off-road, you know, path that's not going to be too steep because it's flat.
Right.
And provide you with that, like, adventure experience.
Right. And then – you don't have to be on the road.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Wow. Removed from the main routes of travel.
Buck Giles is here, LaVogue Cyclery in Hoquiam. More info, LaVogueCyclery.com. LaVogueBikeShop at gmail.com if you want to email them. They're at 523 Levy Street, Hoquiam. 360-532-0887. So you have some events in April. The Cascadia Super Gravel, right? That's just like 5 days away, right?
Well,
is that
one...
Is that accurate?
That's what's the 5 days away is like the pre-ride.
Okay. The shakedown ride?
Yes, yes. The shakedown ride. So okay. The shakedown ride is just a small, you know, tasting of the course.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the actual event is the 29th.
Right. Okay. Now... Do I want to enter this? Do I just do it? Do I have to register? Can I show up on site and register? How does that work?
You can do one of two things. You know, you can register online, mm-hmm. And you can follow the links on our website on our happenings page. We have a calendar with all of these things, and you can pre-register. Absolutely, I believe there are still some spots available,
mm-hmm.
And it is possible you may be able to register on site like the night before. I would have to look at their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
you just showing up, if you miss it, you can always just show up and try your luck. You right. know, a lot of the race directors will still be happy to, you know, yeah. take your money and have you go ride. It's fine. Right. It's fine. The only thing that's limited at times is when it's like sold out because the permit right. has a capacity.
Whatever. Ah, okay.
But they usually make a hard announcement about that, that, hey, we're maxed out. So the Super Gravel, that is like the culmination of the year of, I dare say, probably the most challenging experience you can do.
Yeah.
That's like in our immediate area for cycling. It is an insane course. Just to give you a little example of that, mm-hmm. the short course is 30 miles.
The short course?
The short course.
30 miles.
30.
Oh, wow.
The medium course is 50 miles. Do you want to know how long the long course is?
How long is the long course?
It's over 100 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Just over 100 miles.
Do you do that?
So I do, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I'm not the fastest. Like, there's some freaks of nature out there that do this, that they'll complete that 100 miles mm-hmm. in, like, 7 hours.
Wow.
It's silly. Silly. Especially when you consider that that 100-mile course has over 13,000 feet of elevation climbing.
Wow.
Throughout it. So you do the 100 miles, you will have climbed 13,000 feet at the end.
Wow.
Now, so when I do it, I'm like 12 hours, 13 hours on my bike.
Do you do like any pre-ride stretching or anything to get ready for something like that?
You know, yeah, a little bit. And then, you know, mid-ride stretching and stuff too. You know, hydration, fuel, yeah. You know, feeding yourself properly. That is all hypercritical, right?
Yeah.
I've kind of come to terms that the reason why I do these sort of things is in my mind, I have to do it.
Is it the challenge?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, I'm deciding I'm going to do this, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna finish. You know, no matter what it takes, no matter how slow I am. Mm-hmm. Without a lot of training, I didn't prepare myself very well for one of the gravel and ravel races, and I involuntarily became the sweep. I say I was dead last.
Oh,
so
but you finished.
I did finish. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it's. Whatever you want to make of it, you know, you can choose your distance, mm-hmm. Whatever goal you have for yourself. That's the Super Gravel. The Super Gravel is like hardcore. Cam Sloan, the Down East Racing crew, they make it happen for you.
Yeah.
It is an accomplishment, honestly. Wow. Honestly, I've got a good friend that she'll tell you all about it. I'll leave that as a tease. I think her message to me immediately after was, gravel is not for me. Why did you make me do this? but that's all in good fun. Now, the other event, which is more aligned with, you know, being just a bit more manageable, still an accomplishment. You know, mm-hmm. any of these cycling events are accomplishments. And for me, I don't know. I just have this idea that you paying to go, like, ride your bike and, you know, participating in these events, you know, getting your race number, that mm-hmm. to me is like kind of like the peak. It is the top of cycling experience, like mm-hmm. going and participating, being in that culture mm-hmm. and doing your best. You know, you're racing against other people, sure, mostly racing against yourself,
right?
Especially these gravel ones,
right?
Because you're out there, there's moments when you'll be out there for hours at a time, miles at a time, all alone.
Wow.
So, I mean, who else you got to talk to, right?
Right.
So the race before the Super Gravel, the Super Gravel is the 29th. The Gamble Graveler is April 22nd. Now, the Gamble Graveler happens. So the Super Gravel, that's at Capitol Forest. It's just right outside of the county. The Gamble Graveler is a little bit further away. It's up at Port Gamble. That's why mm-hmm. they call it the Gamble Graveler, you know.
Right.
Again, where these dad jokes, these punny names, right? the Gamble Graveler is nice because it is a lap. It's a 20-mile lap. Mm-hmm. So you can do one lap, 20 miles, and be done.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you know, 40, 3, 60. I plan on doing the 60-mile.
Yeah.
I know that area pretty well, so it's a fun ride.
Yeah.
It's a fun ride. And if I actually start on time, then, you know, I'll be done in a reasonable time because they have 8:30 a.m. is the long course start. Mm-hmm. I think last last time I did it, I started a little bit late, like at 9:15, and I was only able to get the two laps in because there were people I wanted to talk to.
Right.
And if I would have kept riding, I would have like missed everybody.
Right.
Now, the biggest thing, too, is like people will ask, well, do I need a special bike to mm-hmm. do these rides?
Right.
And again, we pull another little phrase out of our pocket, and that phrase is, any bike is a gravel bike.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even the old 10-speed with those, what are those handlebars that curve down? Remember those?
Yeah, yeah. The drop handlebars, we call them, because the bull horns that come on down.
Yeah.
Literally, the saying is exactly that reason, because it's like any bike can be a gravel bike.
Okay.
As long as you're, you know, committed enough, determined enough.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. There's definitely going to be, you know, bad tires and good tires for that. But, you know, the bike you have, right? A bike is a bike. Go out and ride.
Yeah.
Most of us have spent some time riding on some sort of gravel, whether it's our driveway or the local road or even the road up to your house.
Yeah.
Most of us have ridden some gravel.
Yep. Especially around here.
That's right. That's right. There is plenty of gravel to be had. So you don't need necessarily a special bike, but there are better bikes, right? You know, one of the biggest things to be taken away from supporting your local bike shop, from, you know, investing a little bit more in your bicycle purchase, is the quality.
Right.
A good friend of mine, neighbor and customer, he has his first Trek that him and his wife bought when they were, like, engaged, I think, you know, like, man, like 35 years ago. So they have, those bikes are still working just fine.
Nice.
The technology and components and things have improved, and they now are rolling on bikes that are just a year old, and they're loving it. They ride all the time. I always see them. They're on Ocean Beach Road a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Ocean Beach Road and Powell Road a lot.
Right.
And so they have their first Trek. Then they have their last Trek bikes. And now they have their current Trek bikes. And the biggest thing when I was asking, you know, what should we talk about on the air? And he said, talk about the investment of quality in bicycles, whether it's from Trek or Kona or our brand new brand that we have in the shop, Transition Bikes. They're more mountain bikes. Investing in a quality bike will give you a better experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, can your old bike do it? Yes, it can. But can you do it on that old bike? We have a bike fitter in the shop currently. We're getting our fit studio up and running.
What's a bike fitter?
It's someone who specializes in making sure that you are efficient on your bike, that the bike fits you, because how you interact with like the pedals and the seat and the handlebar, making sure that measurements are appropriate, making sure that you are comfortable on your bike. Because if you're uncomfortable on your bike, you're not going to be able to go the distance.
You see, and this is one thing that I was worried about Daisy, because I think she's already outgrown her little Huffy. I mean, I think she's too big for it.
Yeah.
And your fitter can help me out with that. Like, that bike's way too small for her, and then help find the right one.
Absolutely. And any of our sales, who's ever not mechanicking on a bike can help you out in the sale of that new bike, the purchase of that new bike, and advise you on the right size.
Right.
So being on the right bike matters.
Buck, thanks for spending time with me today, man.
I appreciate
it. Will you come back?
I love being here.
You promise?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.